A diagnosis was something that I was not ready for, and it changed my life instantly. Micah, my 17-year-old, was a junior in high school, living life to his fullest, running cross country, hanging out with friends, playing basketball, and yeah, it was great. In February of 2016, he complained of some debilitating headaches, and then a week later of some double vision, and I thought he was fine. I'm like, you're fine, get back out on the basketball court, but Mark said, no, we need to take him to the doctor. So the next day we took him to his pediatrician, and he could find nothing wrong with his double vision. And he said we needed to get an MRI. I said, Mark had just lost his job. Is there really a reason why we need to get that? And he said, well, I will send you to the ophthalmologist. If the ophthalmologist does not find a reason for his double vision, then yes, you're going to have to get an MRI. So we were scheduled for an MRI the following day. 20 minutes after we arrived home from the MRI, the doctor called and telling us that Micah's MRI revealed a tumor deep in his brain in the pineal region. It was traumatic, and I was heading into a storm I did not want to enter. We were sent to Seattle for emergency surgery, and I couldn't keep up with the texts and the calls. We knew people were covering our family and son in prayer. We felt supported and encouraged in a way that only God could orchestrate right from the beginning. Fear and grief consumed my body and mind. I couldn't eat, and I often trembled uncontrollably with fear. Tears were at the surface of every conversation, and most of you know, they flowed. Micah had emergency surgery to relieve the pressure on his brain, and since the tumor was blocking the optic nerve and not allowing the cerebral spinal fluid to flow through his brain, and they were also able to collect a biopsy at the same time. My mother's heart was breaking, and I was consumed with fear of the unknown. Heading into that surgery in Seattle was more than I could bear. But God sent two people at 3 a.m. by text, reminding me that God was where I always was. I just needed to seek him, call on him. It was exactly what I needed at that time. After someone sent me a verse in Luke, she wrote, "Why are you afraid? I am with you." I repeated that over and over and over through the night, and I finally felt peace. After a week of testing and recovering at Harborview, we returned to Spokane and awaited biopsy results and settled back into a new normal that I had never asked for, wanted, or expected. I sat in the same spot on our couch for hours reading my Bible, writing out verses that friends and family had texted day after day, and finding encouragement from each word. I found myself camped in Isaiah 40 and 41 often because I had to convince my mind to tell my heart that God was bigger than all this and that he was enough for me and able to handle it. Verses like ones in Isaiah 40 were my anchor. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? And then others, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives the strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I was weak, and I bathed myself with his truth almost daily. When the storm hit, I was so thankful for all the sermons, the Bible studies, and time in the Word that had grounded me, because it was things that I learned before the storm that came alive during the storm and prepared me for the unsteady ground I was on. I understood the significance of Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, where it said, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." I've lived this life pretty much thinking that I have it together with some sort of control, but it is not true. And I've learned that, I guess I know now that everybody is going to have something in life, and it's not a matter of when, it's a matter of, or it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When I love where Isaiah writes, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I experienced that promise in such a sweet way, and his presence was real, and he was walking with me. Statistically, Micah's particular type of tumor had a 90% cure rate. It's a germ cell tumor in his pineal gland, and he had another one on his pituitary gland. And at the end of his 5 months of treatment, he was doing great. And after 18 months of recovery, he was feeling a lot more like himself. Well, 2 years later, just this past May, Micah's doctor called and gave me the dreaded news that his routine MRI revealed his tumor had returned and spread through his brain and down his spine. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe Micah had to do this again, and I couldn't believe we had to do it again. The same thing happened physically, but I felt more desperate this time. I laid in bed and trembled uncontrollably and couldn't eat. This was my baby. My now 19-year-old, who's so sweet and funny and thoughtful and athletic, smart, and just completed his first year toward a nursing degree in college. Since his tumor had come back and spread, the second round of treatments would be much more aggressive with more potential harsh long-term side effects, especially from the full cranial spinal radiation. At least I knew God was enough. He knew he was enough last time, and he'd be enough this time. This time was different. I didn't sit on the couch for hours. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't even pray daily. I just didn't do it for weeks. I couldn't. It was not normal for me, and I didn't blame God, and I wasn't mad. But I had a lot of questions, and I did grieve. Why my son? Why again? What's the deal with sickness? Does God cause it? What am I supposed to hope for, and how can I have joy? How do I do this? Did I not learn enough the first time? The first big question I struggled with was, who's the author of sickness, and why do we get sick? Surely God doesn't delight in seeing his children suffer so deeply. Some people thought that if Micah or we had more faith, that he should be healed. This was too much to wrap my mind around in the midst of it, but I was so thankful that I had to work through it. After studying God's word, I concluded that there was no way God worked like that. That would mean that it was in our fleshly power that God would heal Micah, and that puts the power in my hands, our hands, and gives us the glory and not him. It's not about us. It's about him. I know God can heal, but he reserves the right to heal or not as he sees fit. What I did learn and had to grasp for myself was that sickness is part of the fallout from our rebellion against God and started in the garden. And Satan indirectly uses natural results of the fall to cause sickness and suffering. I don't know why I didn't know that, but I felt like I really had to get that in my brain. Sickness and all evil have been a problem since the fall, but I feel like now I only know that it's from a human perspective that we feel that way. Bottom line for me was that God does not commit evil or cause sickness, but he acknowledges that it exists. He doesn't say, oh man, how am I going to heal Micah? But rather, in his infinite holiness and sovereignty, uses sickness to accomplish his perfect and glorious purpose, and ultimately he gets the glory. Because it's not about us, it's about him. The second big struggle and stumbling block for me was fear. It's crazy what my mind did with fear, and I believe Satan took joy in my consuming fearful thoughts. A friend shared in passing at the Fairwood Market. She said, I just don't want to live it twice. That comment convicted me deeply. Because the fear of Micah's future or my future without him was all consuming. We all know that most of what we fear doesn't come true. I was living this nightmare, and it was too much to live what could happen and then live it again if it did. And this fear was also not truth, and it was a humbling realization that I decided to discipline my mind and protect it. I needed to focus on what was right and true among other things that Paul writes about in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. I grew significantly in this area, and this has just been recent, but I also know that I will never completely be free of fear, like most women. Another area of struggle and question was, why me, and how do I do this? I questioned why I had to go through this, and I wrestled with this for months. I taught my kids, you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. But I was throwing a fit. There came to a point during Micah's treatment that I had to accept God's plan for our life, and God's plan was whatever was happening right now. And right now, my son has cancer, and I can't do a thing about it. I didn't have a choice, and I fought it. I fought it with tears and questions until I was exhausted. Micah said one day, Mom, we're going to do this and continue with treatment, so just stop worrying and crying. I was humbled, but I had a decision to make, a head decision. I made a conscious choice to say, okay, Lord, whatever you want, and I accept what you have for my son, and I will move forward with joy. Back when I was questioning that, I felt like I needed some sort of justification or explanation from God as to why this was happening. But when it came down to it, I had to just accept it, just like I taught my kids. That decision brought so much peace, and I was embarrassed at how I questioned God, a God who is so holy and sovereign, and whom I say I trust with all my being. This decision required more than only accepting God's plan on my mind. It involved actually trusting his plan. And trust is not believing that God will take me out of what I'm going through, but rather believing that God knows exactly what I'm going through and that I accept it and that I would worship him through it. Believing is the heart part, and I felt my mind and my heart were finally aligned at this point. And trust in the Lord with all your heart brought a whole new meaning to me. We're now in this cancer journey for the long haul, and we're unsure what Micah's future side effects will be, but we know God has the big picture plan, and we may never know it. So I continue to trust his plan and not my own by his grace. This journey is one we was not traveled alone. So many people came alongside my family and me in unbelievable ways. And it was the most humbling experience I've ever been through, but the most blessed, and I never want to repeat it again. To need others was foreign to me because I'm very self-sufficient and feel like I pretty much have things under control. To have others enter our life through prayer, gifts, meals, text, and reaching out in ways we never could have expected was an expression of God himself and his love for my son, family, and me. I learned to accept graciously and say thank you when I felt very undeserving. I learned that it really did make it life easier to have meals brought in, and not just the meal itself, but the smiling faces of friends, new and old, that blessed us at our door. I learned that not all my friends would walk this road with me, and that was fine. They cared, but there would only be some, unexpected ones and ones that surprised me. Many will never know what an encouragement they were. I learned that people love deeply and want to help a lot. I learned that during a trauma, people really do want to talk about it. I did, so don't make it the elephant in the room. I learned that this is a season, and it will end just as winter does each year. I learned again that God is enough for me, and he will meet me when I seek him. And that this God who is enough is the Holy One. The Lord God Almighty, and the one I will be with for eternity. And I'm so grateful and thankful to know him personally. When Micah was first diagnosed the first time, our dear friend and Micah's coach asked us to choose a Bible verse to put on a Micah Strong bracelet. And without much thought, we chose Psalm 28:7. Ironically, this verse has been the perfect verse to sum up what I've experienced over the last 2.5 years. And yet, I had no idea when we chose it how it would bring healing to my heart. The Lord is my strength and shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I will give thanks.